like reading autobiographies about the life of someone, or biographies, something that's been written by somebody else. If it's a complete biography and an honest biography about the person, you will never read at the end that the person died and came back to life again. You'd read about their life, of all that happened to them, and then a sad death maybe at the end of their life. That is until you come to the Bible. That is until you come to books like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The whole issue of who Jesus Christ is comes down to those passages, those accounts in these gospel messages. In fact, the whole issue of the Lord Jesus Christ being able to save us from our sins and give us everlasting life come down to this particular chapter. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is an essential part of the gospel. We must believe it in order to be saved. Saved from our sin, saved from the judgment of God that is to come. It is Christ who died for us, just as the Apostle Paul, he said here in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, "For what I have received, I pass on to you. I heard this, and I'm telling you just to make sure that you know." As of the first importance that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, he was buried and he was raised on the third day, according to the Scripture. See, not only did the Scriptures tell that Jesus Christ would be born, would live, would die and be raised back alive, but the Lord Jesus Christ himself told his disciples time and time again that this would happen. I've got two stones. Kids, you may have seen this before in Sunday school, but two stones and three cups. Under two of the stones, the blue one and the pink one, under the two cups, there's some stones. Are you ready? I'm just going to mix them up just a little bit, just so that you don't know which one's there, which is which. Nick, which is the one that's empty? Oh, give him a round of applause. Fantastic. Well done, mate. I'll make it harder this time, okay? I'll mix them up even more. In fact, I'll even change those two over. Chris, which one's empty?
The middle one.
Are you sure? Give him a clap again. Honestly, you two are good at this. You really are. Last chance, okay? I haven't finished yet. Ben? Which is the empty one, Ben?
Pretty sure it's the middle one.
Are you sure, mate?
Yeah.
Hey! Kids, how did they all know? You mean did I tell them which it was? You see, Jesus did that. He told his disciples exactly what would happen. But look what it says back in our chapter in verse 9. They still didn't understand all these things. They still didn't understand what the Scriptures have said, that one day he would rise again. The purpose of John's gospel is to produce faith. Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what it says at the end of the passage that we read this morning. This is what it says there, look. "But these were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that they believing you may have life in his name." We only have real life when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The life that we live outside of Jesus Christ is is not real life at all. But through the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we believe in him, we can have real spiritual life. And in our passage that we read this morning, the evidence of it is all laid out before us. See, in one sense, and hear me when I say this, the disciples didn't need to read the scriptures because the evidence was there before them in the tomb. And although the tomb was it empty? But it wasn't really, because there were things in the tomb that indicated that Jesus Christ had risen. So let's look at these first eyewitnesses this morning. The first one was a lady named Mary. As we've already read from John, I'll just sort of summarize it again. On that first day of the week, it was a Sunday morning. It was a new day, and Mary Magdalene and some of the other ladies, it says that in the other Gospels. John doesn't record that, but John knew that they were there because it says there later on when Mary actually said, you know, we got there and we found that it was empty. So John knew that Mary, the mother of James and Salome and Joanna was there as well. But he's just interested in what Mary's saying at this point. They said that we were going to the tomb together to anoint Jesus' body with more spices. Already Jesus' body had been anointed with many, many spices. In fact, pounds and pounds of spices had been put on his body. But Mary Magdalene, who loved the Lord Jesus Christ, she'd been amazingly helped by Jesus. Do you know, in our series thus far in Luke and also some of the things that you've been looking at Sunday school, you discover that Jesus done some amazing things. What did he do? He healed some people, didn't he? Well, what did he do with the storm? Remember what he did with the storm when he was in the boat? Did he make the storm get worse? Was it worser? No? What did it do? Go on, mate. He calmed the storm, didn't he? He spoke and he calmed. What about the man and others as well that were troubled by demons? What did he do for them? Did he leave them as they were? No, what did he do? He healed them. Do you know, Mary Magdalene was one of them. She was one of them, the Bible records, that was really troubled by demons. And Jesus met with her and helped her. And she was completely different afterwards. Her life was changed around. And when she got to the tomb, she was amazed that the tomb was already taken away. The stone was gone. She, at that point, didn't look into the tomb, but she turned around and she ran to go and find John and Peter to tell them. So the first thing Mary initially assumes was that the resurrection hadn't happened, but somebody had taken the body of Jesus. She didn't expect that Jesus would be alive, but that somebody had stolen his dead body. We see this in verse 13 later on when Mary sees the angels. Look what it says there, if anybody's on that particular passage. It says, they said to her, Mary, why are you crying? And she said, they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him. The Lord in whom she loved was missing. Do you know, the empty tomb for us this morning and for Christians down through many, many, many years has been a real source of joy. I'm happy that it was empty, are you? Yeah. For Mary, she wasn't. The empty tomb at this point was a source of real grief for her, real sorrow. And in many ways, Mary, in her weeping, presents a picture of all those who believe only in a dead Jesus. How sad that is. Because a dead Jesus cannot give eternal life to those who believe. Where there is no belief in the risen Christ, there is no joy. But there's also no hope. There is only tears and sorrow. You know, Mary would change, though. She would shed tears of joy as she encountered the risen Saviour. For as she wept in her grief for Jesus, he came to her. I love that phrase, doesn't it? Look, let's just read it again. Thinking that he was the gardener, this is in verse 15. She said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." As she wept in her grief, Jesus spoke her name. Mary may have found the tomb empty, but it was the Lord Jesus Christ who found Mary. And the Lord Jesus Christ can find you today, whoever you are, as you simply believe the evidence of a risen Savior. So Mary now represents a picture of the joy that you can know as you encounter the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself. For the Lord who rose from the grave is the Lord who meets us even now and offers new life as we simply believe in him. There was other eyewitnesses there as well. There's the testimony of John and Peter, also known as Simon Peter. Now, for some reason, it was clear in John's account that the two of them were together at some point, and they met and they started running together. We don't know where, but when Mary encountered them, they started running as fast as they could to get to the tomb. Now, I'm not suggesting this for all the obvious reasons for myself, but, you know, sometimes some churches, and I think we've done it here as well, we've met on an Easter morning and we've had breakfast together. I remember Rebecca messaging me, "Should we have breakfast this Easter Sunday?" I remember you said that to me, Bex, and it didn't happen. But we should do it on one occasion. But you know what's more biblical? Men, go for a run together. That's what they did on that first Easter morning. But please, don't be asking me, Gaz. Please, don't be asking me. John wants us to know the specific details about this. So he and it tells us that he and Peter ran. He actually ran ahead of Peter. I get the impression it was a bit of a Gaz and a Ben sort of scenario. You could imagine that, couldn't you? Ben bringing up the rear while Gaz had just run. Oh, sorry, Ben. Sorry. You knew it that way around, Ben. You really, really did. Do you know, I doubt there has ever been an episode in history of the world where people take off running to see an empty grave in the cemetery. But that is exactly what we have here. John got to the tomb first. He looked in, but he didn't go in himself, but he did see the wrappings there. According to verse 6 there, when Peter got to the tomb, he didn't wait. He just ran straight. Again, a bit different, the same similarity between Ben and Gaz. Ben just goes where angels fear to tread sometimes. Yeah, Peter just ran straight in there, barging past John. Getting in there, he wanted to see it for himself. And there he saw the linen wrappings that had been mixed with a mixture of spices and oils and perfumes. Interesting, in verse 7, it says there that both disciples noticed that the face cloth had been rolled up nicely and lying separate from the linen wrappings. You know, on Friday night, in our Good Friday service together, one of the major points that Ben brought out for us is that simple phrase where it says, "It is finished." In other words, what it says there is all the work that the Lord Jesus Christ came to do was finished. And just as he said it on the cross, some commentators have indicated or implied, and I think it's a good implication as well, particularly as Jesus Christ was a man who was a craftsman who worked with his hands, not only as the follower of his father, Joseph, his earthly father, who was a carpenter, but remember, Jesus Christ was the creator of heaven and earth. He's the one who used his hands to create all things. And you get this illustration of something that would have been done in the first century of when a carpenter or a workman had finished the work that they're doing. They would fold up their apron and they'd put it aside from everything else as an indication that the job is done. It is finished. Both disciples saw this. And they knew that the body had not been stolen, because if somebody had stolen the body, do you think they would have neatly folded the grave clothes up? Do you think they would have left the wrappings? They would have taken the body as quickly as they could and got out there. They wouldn't have been delaying in any way. And so in verse 8, which is critical for John, he says this. Let me read it rather than trying to misquote it. Finally, the other disciple, that is John who was writing this account, who had reached the tomb first, he went inside and he saw and he believed. He saw the evidence and he believed. The evidence that Jesus Christ was not there, but he had risen. Don't miss this point, though. In verse 9, it says, at this point in time, neither disciple understood the scriptures that had taught that Jesus would rise again. Later on, they would fully understand, and all the things he'd said and all the images and all the pictures and all the stories that he told all fell into place and they fully understood. But at this point, it wasn't the scriptures that were telling them. What was telling them? The evidence. The evidence, the things that they could see, told them. This is not some emotional delusion. This was real. You are getting here, folks, first-hand eyewitness account that Jesus is alive. Faith in the resurrected Savior is not blind faith into the unknown. It is a sight that we have been seeing here. And it is seen not just by faith, but through the evidence of what these eyewitnesses saw. Verse 10 makes it clear that these disciples went to their own homes and they knew, they were amazed, and they knew that Jesus Christ had been raised from the dead. And so as we close this morning, what every person needs to realize about biblical faith is that it is based on evidence. It's based on truth. Belief in God, belief in the Lord Jesus Christ is factual. It's logical. And it's provable. All other systems of religion or belief are not. But biblical Christianity is. In verse 8, it just simply says that John saw and believed. He saw the significance of the grave clothes. He allowed the evidence to speak for itself. Now, I know today that we can no longer be able to see the empty tomb unless you've been to Jerusalem, have been there and have saw what they think was the empty tomb, but they're not certain whether it was. But 2,000 or so years on, we just never know. And so we can't maybe see it physically ourselves now, nor are we able to physically see the arrangements of the grave clothes. However, the evidence is still before us. The question is whether we will see and believe. George Bernard Shaw maintains that belief is literally a matter of taste. It's just a matter of opinion. But he was so, so wrong. There is nothing fanciful about the belief or the certainty. There's no wishful thinking in Christian belief. Christian belief is rooted in history. We do not have to give up our intellectual faculties in order to believe. We just need to see the evidence and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the resurrection of Jesus is the best eyewitness news that you could ever, ever hear. But do we all know what this means for us? Do we all know what this implies? Well, firstly, it implies this. It proves that Jesus Christ is God. Let's read this together, if we can, from Romans 1 and verse 4. And who, through the Spirit of holiness, was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. It proves, the resurrection proves that Jesus is God. Secondly, it proves that, not yet, it proves that when you believe on him, you are declared right before God, right and forgiven for your sins. Let's read it together. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. That means there that it was just if you had never sinned. Never sinned. And you're covered in the righteousness of Jesus. It proves that he is God. It proves that we can be forgiven for our sins. And thirdly, it proves that you and I have the potential of victory over all our sins. Let's read this together. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Folks, this is an open invitation to all, that they may see the evidence, the truth that Jesus is God, that you can be forgiven from your sins, and that you have the potential victory over sin, and that one day, are you ready for this? You will live eternally with God the Father and the Son. This is good news for us this morning. Kids, this is evidence which is given to you time and time again for you to see. And you and all of us need to simply believe. If we place our faith in the living Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead, we are guaranteed eternal life. Salvation is based upon the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his resurrection is believable, provable, and reliable. Hallelujah. It's based on these eyewitnesses' accounts, but more than that as well. It's also based on the promises of God's word. Do you know, in God's word, it said hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus was born that one day he'd be born. It says in God's word hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before it happened that he would actually die. It says in his word that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before he died, he would be raised to life again. And do you know what else it says? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, it said that he is coming back again. Did you know that? If the evidence that was spoken about can be seen and believed, the evidence that one day Jesus Christ is returning can also be known and believed in as well. Folks, this is a promise that we have. This is the good news of the gospel. And this is what we have to celebrate and tell this Easter time. Are you ready? Are you ready? Because when he comes again, he doesn't come as a child. He comes as a victorious Savior and a judge. And so we need to be ready so that when he comes, we were not judged on our own account, but the righteousness of Jesus, which is offered to us through his death and his resurrection, will be our account as well. Praise his holy name. This is the evidence. Simply believe this Easter time.